flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. Give me a little more there, Fritzy. There you go. We are in New Orleans on Radio Row. It's not really a row. They say it's a row. They lie about the row. It's a big room. Big, big, big room. Full of media guys and people trying to book people on your show. It sounds glamorous. It's really not that glamorous. But we are here all week long. Joining us now, lucky enough to be joined by the great Brian Westbrook. B. West, how you feeling, buddy?
I'm feeling great, man. Afternoon, fellas. Listen, it's Super Bowl week. If you can't feel good this week, then I don't know when you're going to feel good.
All right, well, hop right into this thing. Is my mic on?
Yeah, it is.
Oh, it's good to go?
Yeah.
All right, B. Well, listen, I don't know if your memory is good or not, but it's 20 years ago, bro. 20 years ago, we were down here playing in the Super Bowl, man. What are some of the memories you have from that game, or that week, I should say? Forget about that game. but that week leading up to the game, what do you remember about that experience?
You know, the interesting thing about the Super Bowl week is that, you know, as players, you're just creatures of habit, right? You do the same things every Friday and every Tuesday and every Wednesday. And because you're in a different city, you don't get to do the same things, right? And so now you're trying to find things to occupy your time because you only practice, you know, let's say 8 hours a day. Then you have to figure out what else to do. You know, are you going out to eat? Are you hanging out with your friends? Are you opposed to being in your own home and just kind of playing with your dogs or doing different things at your house? You're literally trying to figure things out. So it just feels weird, which I'll say this, which really gives the teams that have had that experience, Jalen Hurts and obviously the Chiefs and that crew, it gives those teams that have experience in these games just a bit of an edge. And so I just remember being bored that week, like, okay, what are we going to do? Are we just going to hang out with the players? Am I going to hang out with my boys? And there's also an overarching feeling that you have to remain focused. So it's not like you're going to the club every night or doing something crazy. You're not hanging out every night, but you also want to. Remain focused, but you just don't know what to do. And so, you know, I don't know if you remember. For some reason, I had in my mind that we were going to South Florida, not North Florida in Jacksonville, and I thought it was going to be nice and warm and everything. So all the clothes that I brought were warm weather clothes, and so it was an interesting week to say the least.
Can I be honest with you, B-West? You guys really got screwed having your Super Bowl be in Jacksonville. Like, of all places.
Oh, yeah.
Jacksonville.
I mean, seriously.
Like, I mean, there's Vegas and you know, Los Angeles and blah, blah.
Miami.
You guys get Jacksonville.
Yeah, I would have even taken Tampa.
Yeah.
Anywhere other than Jacksonville.
Well, was it worse than Minnesota? I mean, Minnesota or Jacksonville?
Minnesota's a cool city. It's cold, but I like Minnesota.
I don't know, B. We had fun in Minnesota, didn't we?
Yeah, we had a good time in Minnesota now. But we weren't playing, but we had a good time in Minnesota.
B-West, looking back at the 2 week period before the NFC Championship game and the Super Bowl, there's so much going on and it's so much different than the rest of the season. Is there anything you look back on and you say to yourself, if I had a chance to do it again in that time period, I may have done this differently or that differently? Is there anything there?
No, I think Andy really gave us the heads up. Like, you know, before we get down to Jacksonville, make sure you get all your affairs in order prior to us getting down there. And that was one of the things where I got everything ordered, the tickets, you know, what I wanted to do, all these different things in order prior to getting down there. So I wouldn't have changed very much. I will say this. I've seen a lot of the players doing appearances and things like that the week before. And there's a lot of money to be made. And, you know, if I was being completely honest, I left a lot of money on the table through appearances because I didn't want to be the guy that was out doing the appearances the week before and leaving my team feeling that I wasn't preparing or taking the game serious. But there was an awful lot of money out there on the table the week before the Super Bowl, I'll tell you that.
And I got that money, babe.
Yeah.
I got my slice of that pie, baby.
Reese went out and got that money. I'm not mad at you.
I got what I could get, no doubt about that.
So looking at this game on Sunday, Brian, we've seen, you know, even just in the playoffs, forgetting about the entire season, we've seen so many different sort of performances from Jalen Hurts, the last one being the best one by far against Washington. What kind of game do you think we need out of Jalen on Sunday?
You know, I think a lot of it's really going to depend on the run game, right? I think, you know, probably a running back, and I'll overemphasize what's able to be done. But if we can control the line of scrimmage, right, that changes what the expectation for Jalen is going to be. If we control the line of scrimmage, now we're talking about second and short, third and short, and the expectation for Jalen is totally different. Now you're throwing quick slants instead of 20-yard digs, you know, when it's third and long. And so a lot of it's going to be dependent upon the offensive line. But if you're looking at must-haves for Jalen Hurts, he must be consistent, throwing the ball in rhythm, not turning the football over, making good decisions on the RPOs. He has to do those things to be able to lead this team to a Super Bowl. And when we talk about turnovers, I think about this. In the games that the Chiefs either lost or the game was close, Bengals, they lost by 1 point to the Chiefs, they controlled the opposing team, created turnovers. So defensively, we have to create turnovers, and they have to be able to control the football, control the time of possession. So that means we have to get the run game going. We have to be consistent with all the things that we're doing offensively to stay on schedule, right? First and 10 needs to go to second and 5, to third and 3. We don't want to be put in the position where Jalen Hurts has to be taking 7-step drops. Steve Spagnuolo is throwing every blitz in the book at him, and now we're in that position where we're trying to convert in third and long. That's not where we need to be at. So being consistent offensively on first and second down will lead to a much easier game for Jalen Hurts.
Take me in the mind of Saquon, B. He's obviously the focal point of the offense. If you're the Chiefs, you're trying to make someone else, i.e. Jalen, beat you and don't allow Saquon to sort of do what he does. Similar role that you had in our offense. I know T.O. was there all year, but we lost T.O. with a couple games left to go, and he wasn't back until we got to the Super Bowl. You became the focal point of a defense and of our offense. And in that Super Bowl, I'm imagining the Patriots had to be keying in on you. And I'm wondering from that perspective, how do you manage that, right, when you realize the other team is pretty much trying to do everything to stop you? And how does that translate with what Saquon's going to be faced with Sunday?
You know, you're right. It's difficult, and I think there were times, especially in that game that we played against the Patriots, that they were bound to say, okay, we're not going to let Westbrook do his thing, because that leads to the offense and their ability to, just like I mentioned, stay on track, to stay in a positive situation, not having third and long. And so, you know, for Saquon, I have to believe he's going into that game saying, I have a dominant offensive line. They provided holes for me all year long. They provided opportunity for me not to get touched until I'm 3, 4, 5, 6 yards down the field. I'm going to be patient. And unfortunately, when you are in a situation like the Super Bowl, you become impatient as a runner. You want every run to be a home run. Saquon has a great ability to be patient, and that's going to be super important this week, that he's going to be patient, allow the game to come to him, allow those 3 and 4 yard runs to turn into 30 and 40 yard runs, because that's where he's the most effective. And, you know, I think he has the ability to do everything that you want a doggone running back to do. And so he has to be able to trust that offensive line, which he has all year, and he'll be fine. I'm not worried about Saquon in the least when I look at the game plan for this week.
With us right now, Brian Westbrook. B-West, flipping to the other side, you know, you're not stopping Patrick Mahomes. You're not rattling Patrick Mahomes. But when you watch him, is there a way that you think the best way to play him specifically is, and the way that the Eagles sort of attack that problem?
Absolutely. You take away his first option. You force him into those third and longs. Like we mentioned, for us, we want to stay on track. We want to stay on schedule. You force Patrick Mahomes into third and long situations. Make him stay in the pocket, which is one of those things where it's third and long and everyone's dropping, making sure that Kelsey's covered and all these other receivers are covered. And next thing you know, Patrick Mahomes, who you don't necessarily say he's a great runner, he's running for 12 yards in the first down. So the first thing is you want to put him in long to go situations on third down. Then you certainly have to stay in front of him. You can't drill behind him as a defensive line because now he has a chance to run, and he's done that successfully in almost every important game that we've watched him. And then now you have to find a way to take the ball away. Our defense has been so opportunistic, and I saw a stat the other day, and it's hard to believe that it's true. I saw a stat that said we have had 21 turnovers in the last six games. I mean, that's absolutely impressive. And so we have to find a way to get the ball back to our offense and limit their possessions. If we can do that, then we have a chance in this football game.
You know, a stat I did not know, and I think I saw, I got to give it credit on ESPN, I saw it earlier, is that in the five Super Bowls, I guess this will be the fifth Super Bowl for Patrick Mahomes.
Yes.
I think this will be the fifth one.
Yep.
Does he have four interceptions? I think he may have four interceptions in his Super Bowls. So I mean, that is there. You can take advantage of it when it happens.
Yeah, let's get it. Let's get it.
The thing is, he doesn't give you very many opportunities. So
no,
when,
he's not
if there's an overthrow or a tip, you got to make sure you come up with it. If you get a sack on him and it's a strip fumble, we got to recover it versus them recovering it.
Right. You know, one of the things that I would say is, you know, just like anything else, you think about, you talk about Saquon on our side. Don't let Saquon beat you. Force Jalen Hurts to beat you. I'm saying, okay, we understand that Travis Kelce is his guy. We got to find a way to stop him too. If it means put two people on Travis Kelce, let's do that. We can't allow Mahomes to Kelce to be that matchup that we can't contain. That's the one thing that we can't give up. We can't allow that to happen. And that means he's working the middle of the field, and now we're forced to tackle someone that's 6'6", 260. We have to take that away and make him go to his second and third read. That allows us as a defensive line to be able to penetrate a little bit more to get some more pressure on Mahomes.
And you best believe they know that we allowed Zach Ertz to turn back the clock to 2017 in that championship game. I mean, my goodness.
Yes, sir.
They did. 11 or 12 catches.
Here's the thing. I believe, and I don't know this to be true. I want to believe that this is true, that as an offense, we were not as afraid of Zach Ertz making the big play down the field. So the one thing we didn't want to give up is Terry McLaurin running past our entire defense. So we were rather rally to Zach Ertz because we know he's not going to break a bunch of tackles, and we know that he's not going to be a run-after-catch type of guy. Travis Kelce's different. He gets the ball in the middle of the field. He runs it himself. He pitches it back. He does a lot of different things. This is a different beast, even though Zach Ertz had a very good game against us last weekend.
All right, B.S., well, let's get to the real thing here. It's the game's on Sunday. Eagles, Chiefs, what's your call? What's going to happen?
I think that the Eagles are a better team. I think they're in the position where they have been dominant, offensive line, defensive line. And when you talk about the key to winning football games in this league is having a dominant offensive line and defensive line. That leads me to believe that Saquon's going to have a good day, and Jaden's going to have a good day on some of these RPOs as well. That also leads me to believe that we'll control the game, the time of possession. So I believe that we win this game 35-30.
Oh, I'll take it. Your lips to God's ears.
Definitely sound like an offensive guy.
Yeah.
On,
yeah.
We want points. I'm here for the over. I want points.
All right, B. West, we appreciate your time, brother.
All right, Broski.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate it.
Yeah, all right. Take care.
There he is, Brian.
35-30. We're talking about heart palpitations.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
What was the last score? What was the
38-35.
Are you guys surprised? The over-under, I think, is only 49.
Yeah.
49.5. Yeah.
That seems low, doesn't it?
Yeah, I went low.
Yeah.
Well, two offenses that generally haven't produced a lot of points.
Limit possessions.
Year, you know.
Long drives.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah. I mean, it's probably right on what their average is for the season. I think Kansas City averaged, 24 points a game? We were at 26, something like that.
Yeah.
So right around 50. Before we get back to the Eagles, there was a Sixers thing that happened today that we said we'd get to.
Let's talk about
right
it.
Here. The Sixers, the trade deadline is tomorrow at 4 o'clock
I thought it's
Eastern.
Thursday, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. I'm so mixed up
amen,
on days.
Amen.
Yeah. Thursday, the trade deadline is Thursday. So the Sixers traded, it's a little surprising in that this was a guy they have locked up, and they had him on a pretty good contract, is Caleb Martin. So they trade Caleb Martin to the Dallas Mavericks for Quentin Grimes, and the Sixers get their own second-round pick back this year. I believe that pick was from the Josh Richardson-Seth Curry trade several years back. You know, Caleb Martin's a good player. He hasn't played very much this year. He's had like five different injuries this year. I do think they were probably sitting him recently because they were thinking they could get something for him. This is really about, and first of all, Quentin Grimes is a good player. He's a good guard, shoots threes decently, but a good defensive player.
This year, I think, career high for threes.
For threes, yeah. He was one of those guys that was on the Knicks that, like Deuce McBride, I felt like every time he shot a three, it was going in against the Sixers. He's a good player. They're short on guards right now. They've been playing Reggie Jackson and Kyle Lowry. This is one of those trades that doesn't make you worse this year and helps you get under the tax. I mean, that's what this is. So if they can and the tax, you know, by July 1st, here's the implications if you're interested. First of all, they don't get repeater tax. It's really just like a financial thing, and they need to, if they trade Drummond and then they do a couple of things this offseason, they can get under the tax. The good thing about getting under the tax before July 1st is it will allow them, if they want to give more money to Gershon Yabusele and be able to spend more money on Yabusele. Right now, they could only offer him about $6 million. If they get under the tax, that could get up to 14. They don't need to give him all of that, but he's been so good that if you think there's a chance of keeping Yabusele, it might be worth getting off of Caleb Martin.
He honestly might be worth $14 million. You probably have a better read on this than me, but I feel like he's been really good. He's
easily.
Well, yeah. The thing is, Caleb Martin only got 8. Right? And right. So Yabusele is not a starter on every team. I think he's probably a $10 million player, but we can't even get to 10 the way it is
and
right
he's
now.
He's a bit older, right? Because he came
he's
here
29.
And went over. Yeah, so he's not like he's a young and up-and-coming guy.
No, yeah. He's a good player. Now, he's an unrestricted free agent, so there's no guarantee. He's not restricted, so he can go wherever he wants. But I do think, you know, if the team's not going to win anything this year, there's no sense in paying the tax.
Well, that's
anyway.
What I wanted to ask you, because to me this seems like a trade – that it's not selling by any stretch.
Right.
I actually think you get, in some ways, a better player and a pick. So you're maybe a little bit of a better team. But Caleb Martin had playoff experience. I don't think Quentin Grimes has a ton, or at least hasn't crushed
doesn't have
it.
A lot. Yeah.
Yeah. So I feel like this is a little bit of an eye towards the future.
Yeah. I mean, it's an eye toward the offseason.
Yeah,
without making the team worse this
year.
Exactly. It's a soft sell.
Yeah, that's,
you know, it's not getting rid of Oubre, getting rid of Yabusele. You know, you're thinking trading Paul George.
Right.
It's not a. It's a. Hey, there's probably not going to happen this year, but let's not make our team worse. Let's give ourselves a fighting chance to be whatever we're going to be.
And I mean, Quentin Grimes only 24, the career high for three. So I think there is some upside there. I agree with you. The Caleb Martin contract was a good tradable one. Like, he wasn't making a ton of money. In 3 years, I think you could still trade him. But I like...
Well, Caleb Martin, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But I like the idea of taking a shot on a younger player now, because, you know...
But he's unrestricted.
Yeah, but if you just don't, that's fine.
Quentin Grimes.
Yeah, if you don't re-sign him, that's fine. Yeah,
I've lost so much money on Quentin Grimes.
Yeah?
I don't think anyone in America has bet
more.
Do
you bet threes on Quentin Grimes? Yeah.
Always.
I could smell it.
That's worrisome. But you probably bet like 4+.
If you squint, you see Klay Thompson.
Yeah.
You got to really squint. Buddy.
And then when the results come in, you squint at your account.
Well, I'll tell you, the Mavericks weren't squinting, and they decided they would rather have the actual Klay Thompson rather than Quentin Grimes.
Well, worry, too, is he's like shooting way better this year, I think, than he normally does, doesn't he?
I don't know. I didn't
look. Yeah, I think he is.
It's probably outlier.
39%.
Yeah.
He's not a team basketball player. He's a me guy.
That's
in my watching of him and being solely focused on him.
215-592-9494. Lawrence in Philadelphia, you are on WIP. What's up, Lawrence?
Hey, what's going on, man? Spike? Man, I'm disappointed in you, man.
Uh-oh, what did I do?
You go all the way to New Orleans, man, and spill all that negativity by Hurts, man.
I haven't been negative at all, though. I've been positive about his future. I say he can be – there's much more to unlock there. What did I say that was negative?
Oh, I didn't hear that part.
Because
I know that now you're right.
Okay. Thank you.
Because once we win the Super Bowl, man, it's going to be like the whole narrative changed because the era of football is changing right in front of our eyes, if you don't see it or not. And that's how football goes, man.
Yep. You surf signed it up this afternoon, brother?
Excuse me?
No, nothing.
He definitely drinking surfside.
Yeah.
I don't ever sound like that.
Yeah.
Yo, man, I mean, I listen to the podcast of Angelo Cataldi, Mike Messinelli, Mac and Mac, Ricky Ricardo.
Wow.
Well, there's no podcast.
Pardon me?
Nothing.
Yep.
They all said the same thing I'm saying, man.
Which is what, exactly?
When you get back to Philadelphia, man, once we win the Super Bowl, man.
Yep.
They're going to be waiting for him?
So you have to apologize.
Nah.
Nah, nah.
Oh, yeah. I know that's not going to happen, though, man, because your dad, right? And he's a friend of mine, your
this
father,
I bet.
Mr. Howard Eskins. You know, we're the same age, me and Howard.
I can tell.
Yep.
Same age, man. You know, that's all I have to say, Spike. Hey, Spike, hey, look, man, I'm not trying to, like,
it's all good.
Be really too negative about you, man. I just want you to see that. Football is changing right in front of our eyes, man.
It is.
Because I watched it for 40, 60 something years, man.
They're going to play with two footballs next year.
Inside.
Yeah.
Yep.
Five downs.
Man. Come on,
five,
man.
What's changing about football?
Why would y'all say that to me, man?
I've been watching.
I just told you how old I am, so I've been watching football that long, man.
Hold on, then. You're 73, then. So you've been watching football for 40 years?
No, I'm not 73. I'm 64.
Then you're not Howard's age.
Yeah, Howard's 10 years. Well, whatever.
As I said, but I've been listening to him on the radio since the 90s.
Whoa.
And I was putting the message out there how long I've been listening to this show. That's what I was just saying.
All right.
I definitely appreciate
it. That's the only thing I was saying, man.
Yeah, you're good.
It's the best, man. All right. Yeah. Well, after we win the Super Bowl, we will come back, and I will not apologize.
Oh, yeah, it's going to be some apologies.
No.
Yeah.
Hey, Spike.
If we don't win the Super Bowl and Jalen plays bad, are you going to apologize, Lawrence?
Yes, I will. Not only that, man, I would take you and your friend any restaurant you want to go to, man. I pay for it.
All right.
This is heating up.
Hey, Spike, not only that, you got the receipts from this show that I've been calling since 1990.
Wow,
we have all your calls recorded.
Yep. All right,
same
Lawrence.
Got the same phone number like grandmama's phone number.
Okay.
All right.
Okay, Lawrence. We'll talk to you next week after the game. Trade apologies. Whew, that was something else. Coming up next, Roger Goodell seemed pretty angry at something last night, and then Seth Joiner this morning seemed angry about the same thing, but maybe on the other side.
I can't imagine what this is about.
What are Roger Goodell and Seth Joiner on opposite sides about? Probably a lot of things, but we'll talk about one of them next. This is the WIP Afternoon Show, 215-592-9494. We're in New Orleans, and this is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. It is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. Elliot Shore Parks with us as well. We are in New Orleans leading up to Super Bowl 59, which you can hear right here on WIP and the Odyssey app. You got to listen to Merrill and Mike for the Super Bowl.
Come on.
So, at what do they call media night now? They call it
opening night.
So, Roger Goodell had something to say on the perception that the refs are favoring the Kansas City Chiefs. Here's what he had to say. Well, first the Goodell sound, then the Seth sound. So
maybe we can take a phone call.
Yeah, we're going to take a phone call, and then we'll get back to it. Tim in South Philly, you're on WIP. What's up, Tim? I can't get.
Hello?
Yeah, Tim, are you there?
Yeah, you hear me?
Yes, sir. You're on WIP. What's up, Tim?
Oh, hell yeah. Hey, guys, this is going to be a quick call. So I have a little tradition, and when I go to Eagles games, I walk in. The first thing I do is I go to the WIP tent. I look at ESP and I tell him he sucks. And every time I do that, the Eagles win. So I'm here for one reason and one reason only. ESP, you suck. You absolutely suck.
There we go.
Go Birds. And great talk to you guys. Have a good one.
That is the best call we've ever had.
I need to cut that audio.
I like their chances.
Yeah, if you just want to tell ESP sucks, you can call the WIP.
Well, you have to have a good winning record in doing it.
Well, you never know. We might need more of them.
Point.
Yeah. You think that guy really meant it?
Oh, yeah, I've heard him. Yeah.
I actually do think he means it. But I also think he likes you.
Well, obviously. Yeah.
That's how everyone gets.
Yeah. All right. Here is Roger Goodell on last night on the refs.
It's a ridiculous theory for anyone who might take it seriously. But at the end of the day, you know, it's something we always have to continue to work on. How do we make our officiating better?
And then here's what Seth Joyner had to say on the WIP Morning Show today about the very same thing. We're just going to sit in the silence.
Oh, man.
Seth sounds fired up.
Now we're just waiting. Okay, here it is.
I mean, it's right there for everybody to see. I talked about it, you know, during the Texans game, and I tweeted it not only the NFL, I tweeted it the NFL officiating. It's getting ridiculous now because it's getting to the place now where they're not even trying to hide it, you know, and that's just wrong. You know, it has to be fair and balanced, but you know what, as a team, as a player, you can't complain about it. You just have to figure out a way to remove yourself from those situations. But, you know, hey, listen, when there's smoke, there's fire. If it consistently happens again and again and again and again, then there's something there. And as what the Eagles have to do is not allow themselves to be put in those situations where the referees can give the Chiefs an advantage. They are going to New Orleans, and I'm telling you right now, they're going to have to play against two teams. They're going to have to beat the Chiefs, but they're going to have to also beat the referees.
Can I say, and I'm not saying about, this is not, I'm not saying Seth is psychotic. I'm saying this idea that people have talked themselves into, that the refs are cheating for the Kansas City Chiefs, is a psychotic idea. First of all, if they were going to cheat for a team, they would cheat for a team that was in a major market, not Kansas City. Not market 38 or
the
whatever.
The Jets would have been a lot better.
The
this
Jets
year.
Or the yeah. Rams or the 49ers.
The Eagles.
For the Eagles, for that matter. Second, the NFL has so much more to lose than to gain by cheating for one team when sports betting is a massive partner of the NFL and most of its teams. If people were to find out that the league was manipulating results, then all that entire industry goes down the tubes, because you have to, the only way that gambling exists is if you believe that the results are legitimate.
Yeah.
If you don't, then it's wrestling. Then it's just like, we have to, as sports fans, grow up and be adults. And just because things don't go your way, it doesn't mean people are cheating you or have some scheme. The Chiefs are a great team that probably get the benefit of the doubt on some calls because they're great. But that is no different than any other great team in the history of sports. Ike said this the other day. A great pitcher might get a little bit of a that's been hammering the strike zone all day long, might get an inch on the outside of the plate that another player might get. Michael Jordan might get a call that another player is not going to get, but that doesn't mean you're playing against the refs, and it doesn't mean that there's anything untoward. It's just sort of how sports go. Yeah. And I, by the way, I think A.J. Brown might get some of those calls because of his reputation as being a great player. I think, like, we have great players that might get some of those calls. But, like, this whole theory that there is a grand scheme to make things easier for the Chiefs is a psychotic theory, and it is it's a loser theory.
Yeah, and can you imagine if that were undiscovered? I mean, if that was uncovered.
Oh my God!
Yeah, that's like, there's no player or team that's worth the bubble being burst of the NFL.
No,
so they're not about to do something like this knowingly. Now, can you argue officials can be enamored by certain players and they allow certain things to go, or they call things a little tighter with certain players? Sure. I mean, that's what we call human nature. So I understand that part of it. And I'm not saying it always happens, but I'll say this. I love the sport too much to go down that road, because then you lose all faith in the sport.
Yes.
Yeah, like, so.
Then,
like,
how do you know any game you're watching?
Exactly.
Well, especially someone that played in the
league. Right. Well, and we never got to be.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like,
yeah, so, you know, I get where the perception is that. So I'm not saying people aren't crazy that it seems like the Chiefs get all the calls or what have you. But if you think about it, I mean, it wasn't a referee call that hit Patrick Mahomes a yard or two out of bounds against Cincinnati in the AFC Championship game.
Mm-hmm. No. Yeah.
That wasn't that. I mean, we all saw that. That was a legitimate call. But, and that play But that play got them in the Super Bowl.
By the way,
and that's on the player.
By the way, Saquon Barkley held on a touchdown play.
Yeah.
The Eagles had the NFC Championship game, clear hold right in front of everybody. They didn't call it. It wasn't the. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
These happen every game.
Happen.
Well, I also think we put it on the Chiefs more because we see the Chiefs.
We see them more.
Yes.
They play
yes.
in so many more big games
yep.
than other teams do.
Yep.
Every week during the regular season, I see clips of people on Twitter being like, "How could this be quarterback roughing?" How like it? The league has decided to protect the quarterback, and it seems like Mahomes gets more of it because Mahomes plays in way more big games. Right,
yeah.
So I agree. It's clear. I mean, it's obviously not an NFL scheme to help the Chiefs. Like that is clearly
yeah.
not what's
yeah.
happening. But does he get favored every once in a while? Yes, but we also just see him more, and so it feels like that happens more.
Yeah, and by the way, they take advantage of whatever benefits they
right.
get.
And
you
people
know?
Bring the Bradbury thing up. Like Bradbury said he held. Now you could say don't call it in that spot,
right.
but he did hold against the Chiefs in the Super Bowl.
This happens with every. Great team.
It
yeah.
does.
Yeah.
It does.
This exact same thing happens with the Patriots.
Yep.
Yeah.
Brady gets this. Brady gets that.
Yeah.
It's like.
Well, they definitely cheated, though.
Well, that was more. You know,
yeah.
yeah, that was more of them, though.
Yeah,
you
they
know?
There was
no
cahoots with
the league didn't help them out on that one.
No, no. 215-592-9494. Yoshi in Brewery Town. Yoshi, you're on WIP. What's up, Yoshi?
Hey, goddamn baby. What's up, E man? Yo,
what
I get so good at this. Like, I'm going to crush it every time, Spike. I'm going to crush it every time.
You're going to be right there ready when I go to you. I love you, brother.
Hey, man, I'm going to be right there. Hey, Spike, you know, I know a winner when I see one, especially if he ain't losing. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I've been drinking. I drank. I take a sip now, dude. Don't make me a bad guy. It is what it is. But Jalen Hurts don't drink during the game like I do. That's what makes him an elite quarterback. You know what I'm saying? Hey, that sound like what them players be saying, man. What's that? That boy, they be chasing and call up and just want to go and fight next, boy.
That was actually a good impersonation. That was pretty good.
hey, man, what's that? That's all I heard while the conversation was going on. Spike. I know your dad, Spike. I met him once or twice at Chick and Pete. You know what I'm saying? We go way back. We go way back. I met him 2 different years, too. So we go way back. Been around. You know what I'm saying? Hey, man, I'm so happy to talk to y'all. You know what? Y'all did sound a little lethargic yesterday. I was like, them boys is out getting cranked or something. What they said, crank, something like that. And Jack, you've been sounding calm as I don't know what for the last 2 days. Like, you
calm?
Ain't grew up since you've been in New Orleans. Yeah, you've been sounding laid back. I mean, you don't sound
well,
like
I feel like I feel like I'm like annoying on remotes, so I'm trying to not be annoying.
You're annoying on remotes?
Yeah, I feel like I'm overbearing on remotes.
It does go up a little bit.
So I'm trying to.
Well, you know what it is. You don't have your drops.
Well, I don't have drops. I don't have the glass in front of me.
You have less to do, too.
Well, I'm grinding over here.
Yeah.
I'm contrary to popular
belief.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it sounds like he's trying not to spit on nobody or anything. What's that? I understand, boy. What's that? You
well,
know,
again, there's no spitting.
Well, there's a lot of spit. We have plexiglass up in
there's
front
no
of Jack
spitting.
So we don't get spit on.
Everyone on Radio Row, no one's talking about it.
Everyone's talking about it.
E-Man, you catching a lot of heat, what's the name, for everything you down there doing. But I'm going to tell you what it is. Ever since you beat my man in arm wrestling, he's going to hold you accountable for everything, boy. Because you get one on him. You can't out-talk him. You can't beat him when he got his laptop and whatever's going on in that evil, that sinister mind of his. So, you better let him beat you in arm wrestling. And then what's the
well, we all know we can't
bit,
do that.
Right
yeah.
now.
Well, we're going to get a fair rematch.
I'm even stronger now. So.
I'm stronger, too.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah.
I am.
Yeah, you've been lifting?
250 push-ups a day, my brother.
You don't do two. You do 200 push-ups a day?
Yeah, you want
no,
me to do it right
250
here?
Push-ups a day?
I do.
That's an
absurd We just don't
amount.
See it.
And
that's
I
a
do.
Crazy amount of push-ups.
Well,
I'm
mean, feel it. I want you to feel it. There's something there.
Yeah, well,
there's
not something nothing. There. I don't know if it's 250 push-ups.
I'll do, I do them in 50 in
well,
groups of
50. Well, I guess to be fair, you're putting up like 70 pounds.
Wow.
This little troll.
I'm saying, you're a skinny yeah. guy. It's not like.
Well, I probably don't weigh that much different than you.
I weigh more than you would think.
I weigh 155 pounds. What do you weigh?
Oh, yeah. I'm like 165.
Okay. Wow. Yeah. It's not that big.
Two fatties.
Yeah.
yeah. I'm impressed. 250 is a lot. I can't do that.
All
but
right.
I can beat you.
I just called up to start a fight with them.
Yeah. Exactly.
Hey, but for real, man, like,
I just hope whatever they do as far as Jalen concerned, what's the name, whoever gonna call them calls, the offense, and just get the right dude, man. Whether you and I'm with Spike and Jack. I would rather see a new fresh face, somebody that I could get excited about. I mean, hearing that what's name is Nick's right hand man in there. I love Nick, but his right hand man calling plays. That got me a little like squirmish or whatever.
Yep.
Just get somebody that's really gonna bring the best out of Jalen. Like Spike said, and everybody stop hearing Spike say Jalen and thinking he's talking about the boy. He plainly said it's something there. That means he believes that this kid is better than what he is seeing. And we want to see that. I love Jalen, but I do believe that you need that Ben Johnson type person that's going to get the best out of him, running the ball, passing the ball, more so passing the ball. So this offense really can evolve and be what it really supposed to be. It's great what it do right now, but it can do a whole lot more. And I can't wait till y'all get back home. Can't wait to see y'all on Friday, man. Love y'all, cats. Go Birds!
Go Birds! We will be there. We will be at Chickies and Pete's on Friday.
Yeah.
We'll be in New Orleans. We're not going to miss Chickies and Pete's Friday.
I'm going to miss Chickies. That seems like it'll be a good day.
Yeah, it'll be a good day.
Yep.
215-592-9494. Back to your calls right after Jack tells you about appliances and National Appliance Warehouse.
Listen, you got to make sure.
Yep.
The big game on Sunday that your house is all appliance'd up and ready to go.
Oh, yeah. Tons of more, twice as many appliances as you have right now.
Exactly right. You have people coming over. There's a lot of pressure.
Yep.
That's where National Appliance Warehouse comes in. And what's going on right now, you got to take advantage of it, is the President's Day Mega Sale. They're always making sure that your dollar is stretching further. Tax-free Delaware helps with that. Great savings events like the President's Day Mega Sale. And also Price Assure, which is a piece of technology specific for National Appliance Warehouse that will instantly update price tags all throughout the store if it finds a lower price at another store. So that's a National Appliance Warehouse difference. On top of that, you're going to get a great experience. Mark Smack and his team truly, truly value. You walk in, you feel like you're a part of their family. So knowledgeable, smart, engaging, that's the National Appliance Warehouse difference. But on top of that, you're also going to get the right appliance. The most important thing, 15,000 square foot showroom, over 100 brands, Sub-Zero, Budget, Gen Air, all the best appliances for you. So go to nationalappliancewarehouse.com or visit their showroom in tax-free Wilmington or Middletown, Delaware today. And as always, tell them Fritz sent you.
Now, if you're part of Jack's family, now you'd be part of the National Appliance Warehouse family, but if you're part of Jack's family, that means that you get chores. You got a shovel. When they're shoveling to be doing,
yeah,
you got a weed. Yep, yeah, yeah. 215-592.
Or my neighbor.
Yeah, or your neighbor. 215-592-9494. Dennis in Warrington, you're on WIP. What's up, Dennis?
Hey, guys, what's happening? Getting into this, well, before I get into the referee stuff, I'll tell you right now, the Eagles will win this game Sunday. And I'm not a better, but any prop bet on Jalen Hurts, take the over, because I think he's going to have an incredible game on Sunday. But getting back to the refs, it's not so much that I think it's rigged, but they need to do something about it because it's totally incompetent. These referees are totally incompetent.
No, they're
and
not.
The solution I have is you get two challenges every half. Why can't you challenge whatever you want? When James Cook's face mask is getting held for 3 yards, why can't you challenge that?
Because you can't challenge something that wasn't called. You can't just go a play and find something that was there.
I think like face mask is fine. I think where you get a little in the weeds is a lot of these are judgment calls. It's a slight hold, but it's technically a hold. A face mask, I'd be okay with though.
I want less replay. I want no replay at all, to be quite honest with you. I don't want the game slowed down. There are so many calls. You could do this. Here's the problem with what you're saying here, is that you could probably call a hold if you wanted to on half of NFL plays. And you really want a flag thrown every time you think there might have been a minor hold?
But I think his point would be the team could select which plays they wanted. Like if it was an important hold, like a touchdown gets called back or something.
Yeah, but those are judgment calls.
Yeah.
And to your point, the way that you fix this is not with more challenges and a wider variety of challenges. It's forgetting about the referees and stop letting it own your brain like that.
I agree.
They're not. No, hold on, Dennis. They're not.
Yeah.
You have to give It seems like you're giving no context to how sort of difficult the job is when you have five guys rushing, five guys blocking, all grabbing and pushing as hard as they can, the best athletes in the world running and cutting and all of these things. It is an incredibly difficult job, and a lot of their job is judgment, is seeing things in the moment. It's very, very difficult. I don't think they're incompetent. They're not perfect, but I don't think they're incompetent. And I also just like, if you're better, you'll win. The Eagles have only lost three times all year. The refs have worked out just fine. We're a really good team. They're probably the two best teams in the NFL are playing in the Super Bowl. Like, we got to the result we wanted, you know?
I appreciate
the call. Go ahead. What do you say? What are we talking about?
I'm going to tell you what it signals to me. Here's what I don't like about it. Here's what I don't like about it. Sounds like we're scared we're going to lose.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's what it signals to me.
Looking for an excuse
when you're
already.
You're complaining about officials before the game even plays itself out. How do you know we aren't going to be beneficial of a bad referee call?
Right.
Right? And then everybody else is saying something, but we're not going to have a problem with that.
Like we were in the Commander's call. We got the pass interference we wanted. We didn't get the whole thing we should have been called on. Right.
Like that's my whole thing with this. It's one thing if it happens and we react to it after the game.
Yeah.
That's different.
Yep.
Because now you're reacting to something that happened. The Bradbury situation, okay, you think they shouldn't have called it. It was clearly a little bit of the tug of the jersey. They called it tight. Whatever. You can disagree with that. But to go into a game concerned about the officials doesn't say to me that you really believe we're better than the Chiefs. Because what do you think the refs going to do? Just out and out blatantly take the game away from us?
Right. Award them touchdowns?
Do you think is going to happen?
And to your point, there will absolutely be a call in this game that is incorrect that goes against Eagles.
Of course, it happens every game.
That's what I'm saying. So if they lose, there will be a play that everyone
that you're
going
to look back to, yes.
And I don't think it's coincidence. When we think of the 2022 Super Bowl, the two things people think about the most are the field and the Bradbury call. And while those are important, they don't have much to do with how the team played.
I don't think about those things the most. Yeah. I think about not going for it on fourth and five at the 15-yard line or fourth and six, whatever that was.
Right.
Obviously, the fumble that led to a touchdown. But that's even like third or fourth on my list. I throw that damn punt return in there.
That was a big one.
Like, those are things I think. I don't think about how much we slipped on the field and the sod father and all that nonsense. I don't, because I can look at other things that we could have done to overcome that stuff and still won the game. We played well enough in that game to have a chance to win. Obviously, you can't fumble the ball. Now, I've always argued that people think that's what cost us the game. Let's say Jalen didn't fumble the ball. We do realize it would have been fourth and seven.
Yeah, that's
eight.
A good point. I'd forgot about that.
It would have been fourth down. So he was already tackled for a loss. That's how the ball came
out. It was field position.
The only thing we lost was field position.
Yeah.
Right? And who's to say the Chiefs, you punt to them, who's to say they wouldn't have gone down and scored?
Well, Cannon was the coordinator.
Well, that's why I don't necessarily blame the fumble on the loss of the game. You know what I'm saying? I don't know. We should have won that game. Let's get to this game Sunday. We're the better team. We need to go out there and play Sunday. Let's stop acting as if we need some boogeyman. There's some boogeyman out there that's not going to allow us to win.
Yeah, we're not that Philly anymore.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean? We have the best offensive line in the game. We have the best running back in the game. We have the number one defense in the game. Like
top five quarterback.
Sure.
Well, 10. Top two if he wins.
Yeah.
But
what if he loses?
If he loses and plays poorly, then of course that affects the ranking.
Six or seven.
Yeah, but he's still top 10.
Right. No. Sure.
So, all right, let me ask you this. If he loses and plays poorly, will that impact where you rank him?
I have no doubt.
Nothing can happen in this game. It's going to change where I rank him.
Yeah, his rank is solid.
And where do you have him?
Like 12 to 15.
All right, well.
Well, it's also, I do quarterbacks that take over him.
That's how
I rank it.
All right. Right. I just think with this game, too, though, when you talk about like the refs and like, the Eagles could play their A game and still lose. Like, the Chiefs are an awesome team.
Sure.
So, if the Eagles play well and lose, it will not be because of an extenuating. Like, the Chiefs have won two straight Super Bowls
for a
reason.
It's the two best teams in the league.
Exactly.
Yes, this is it.
This is the two best teams in the league.
And the league does not want you to remember a call.
Yeah.
That's the last thing they want you to remember. They want you to remember great plays and all those sorts of things. All right. 215-592-9494. 1 hour left in this WIP afternoon show from New Orleans. But coming up next, is everyone's favorite portion of the
yes.
day. Now, are you locked in for this, Jack? I don't know if you're locked in today.
I'm excited for this one.
Okay, for the top 5 of 5.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's worrisome to me specifically.
Do you want to give us a hint?
Yeah, the best things that happened last night.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, a lot of things happened last
night. I'm just letting everyone know, it starts with an all-time Elliott story.
Oh, last night? I don't think I know an Elliott story from last night.
Oh, yeah. Elliott. Well, yeah.
Can I
mostly
tell you this?
Last night.
Elliott looks unhappy. So Elliott knows whatever the story is.
Yeah. It'll be fun to talk about.
Okay.
But yeah, we got to break down what happened
wow.
in this Elliott situation.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. All right. Your calls as well. 215-592-9494. We are in New Orleans at Radio Row for Super Bowl 59. It's the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.